A good Monday morning. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce.
And good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning, Ty.
Good morning.
In our studio this morning is Ty Beasley. She's one of our counselors there at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. This morning we are going to be talking about something that is on everyone, absolutely everyone, stress.
That is so true. That is so true. I drove by a sign yesterday that says, "Be kind. Everybody is engaged in a hard battle." And I thought, hey, that's pretty good. I like that. And that's true. Everybody is stressed. We all have stress in our lives. That's what we want to talk about today and probably next week as well. As we identify stress in our lives and the different stresses in our lives, we're going to talk about this. We're going to learn how to identify it. What are some of the common stressors in our lives? If you'd like to give us a call and talk about stress in your life, you're certainly welcome to do that. We appreciate your calls. The number is 862-9977 or 800-375-0056 or star 56 on your cell. When we look at stress, most of us think about stress and think about vacation. That's normally when we think about stress. Up until then, we just simply live with it. We exist with it. We cope with it. There was a fisherman that was on a beautiful beach, beautiful green water out before him, and he was washing his net. He'd just gotten in from fishing, and there was a businessman strolling along the beach trying to get away from his stress at work, and he walked up to this fisherman, and he says, "You're not going to catch many fish that way. You should be working rather than simply out here washing your nets." And he said, "Well, what will my reward be if I'm out there working?" "Well, you can get bigger nets and catch more fish." "And then what will my reward be?" the fisherman asked. And he said, "Well, you make more money and you'll be able to buy a bigger boat and you'll catch more fish." "And then what will my reward be?" the fisherman asked. And the businessman is beginning to get a little irritated with his questioning. He says, "Well, then you build up a fleet of fishing boats and sell all over the world and let your employees all fish for you." Once again, the fisherman looked at him and says, "And then what will my reward be?" By this time, the businessman was just in a rage. So he begins shouting at the fisherman. He says, "Don't you understand that you can become so rich that you'll never have to work for your living again? You can spend all the rest of your days sitting on this beach looking at the sunset. You won't have a care in the world." And the fisherman, still smiling, looked up and said, "Like I'm doing right now." You know, when we are living in stress, most of the times we do not realize that we are stressed as much as we are. Stress affects us. It affects our mind. It affects us physically. It affects us emotionally. It affects us in every way that is imaginable. And so, Ty, what is it about stress? Can you share how it affects us?
Some of the biggest ways it affects us is emotionally and behaviorally. And a lot of times when we get stressed out, we don't know how to cope with it. We take it out on other people, whether it be our significant others, our kids, close friends or family. I know growing up as a kid, teenager, young adult, all of those, when I got stressed out, the person that I always took it out on the most of was my mom, because it's that close person to you. It's kind of like that person that gets the brunt of all of it and going to take it on. And so, you know, and then as you get older and move through life, it's going to be different people. You can take it out physically on your body, and that can just lead to signs of heart disease and more physical problems like that. So those, I think, are the two areas that a lot of people deal with, it behaviorally or physically, or then emotionally, whether they just kind of keep it all on themselves and it leads to depression or anxiety and things like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, stress really, it does wear on us. We take on so much and we try to tough it out. So many times we're taught, well, life is hard, just deal with it. So we take it on and don't understand why we end up becoming obese, why we end up hardening of the arteries, all of these things that are actually linked to stress. One of the studies this week talks about heart disease with stress in marriage, and talks about how men and women's stress differ in marriage, that they both suffer hardening of the arteries and that type of thing, but from different stresses. So the physical manifestation, it affects us physically. It leads us to an early grave. It really does. Another study here, stress kills brain cells.
Tell us about that one.
The latest development, although chronic stress has long been known to trigger release of excessive amounts of hormones, stress hormones such as cortisol and adrenaline, New studies said that it actually kills brain cells. Research consistently shown that chronic stress disrupts functions in the immune system, endocrine and digestive systems. It can result in a variety of other health problems, asthma, heart disease, immune system deficiencies. But it says during the past 15 years, advances in technology have given scientists the opportunity to examine the brain in great detail, actually doing the imaging on the brain. And through this imaging technology, they have actually visualized the significant loss of gray matter. And that's a result from years of stress-related conditions such as anxiety and depression.
It's just years of chronic stress.
Chronic stress, year after year after year. And many of those were suffering from depression and anxiety. One of the questions I asked, aren't most people aware of the degree which they're suffering from stress? One of the findings was no. People really don't know how much they are physically suffering from stress. And we love to kind of deny it and put it back on the back burner or push it aside. And the stakes are high. People who cannot reduce chronic stress live shorter lives, suffer more illnesses, disability, and have less satisfying relationships, and are often plagued by anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that frog in the pot syndrome.
Yeah.
Where you put the frog in the pot and cold water on the stove.
Start turning up the heat.
Start turning up the heat. And the frog doesn't realize how hot the water's getting until the frog literally is boiled to death.
That's a little different than putting a frog into boiling water. Yeah, if you immediately get stressed, you feel it. But chronic stress is exactly the same. You don't necessarily know what's coming on.
Yeah, you know, just those everyday stressors in our lives that most of us are just not that aware of. We become accustomed to stress. Some of the everyday stressors in our lives is having too many responsibilities. We take care of family members other than our kids. A lot of us take care of extended family members, parents or grandparents, nieces, nephews, that type of thing. Or owing money or getting credit is stressful in our life.
Oh, that's a big one today. Financial stress on families is just at an all-time high.
That is so true. It leads to not having enough money for just the basic necessities like clothing and housing and food. All those necessities in our life. And that's one of the reasons why we owe money, why we want credit, you know, which simply adds more stress in our life. What are some of the other stressors that y'all are aware of?
I think there's probably different major life events that tend to cause stress that will obviously cause immediate stress. But then if those issues aren't dealt with, such as having divorce or separation, the death of a close relative or friend, having some type of physical injury or illness, problems in your relationship or marriage, losing a job, going through any significant life changes like retirement, the empty nest syndrome with the kids mm-hmm. leaving the house. Those are just some more major life events that can happen. Like I said, will cause immediate stress, but if they're not dealt with, then can continue to cause stress throughout your life.
In today's society, just not having enough time to do everything we need to do. We take on more and more and more and more, and we are less productive trying to be everything to everybody, and that just doesn't work. The other is when you're looking at financial difficulties, if things are tight and you end up with an automobile that's down,
mm-hmm.
where's the extra money going to come from? And what that stress brings into a family relationship between a wife and a husband, it's more than what the monetary cost is, the monetary value, the stress and the hurt that people put each other into. That stress on us transmits down to our kids. So the kids' behaviors will be mm-hmm. affected and reflect back what our stress is as we're putting it on them.
Yeah, you know, the stress that we feel, just beginning when we first get up of a morning, many of us wake up and we're tired
getting
already.
Getting to work on time.
Getting work on time, yeah.
Just waking up.
A lot of people are just tired. They've not rested during the night because of the stresses they had on their mind when they went to bed.
Yes, two hands up in the air.
You know, when we wake up tired and we've got to get the kids up, get them ready for school, get them dressed and fed, get them on the bus, we've got to get ourselves ready to get to work. We have so many things already that are stressing us. It's just unreal in so many ways how we're already responding to stress before we ever get started for the day. Now, Dr. Brian Post, a neuropsychologist who deals a lot with stress, talks about stress and stressors, and he talks about a person being regulated. And regulation, he defines regulation as a feeling of a wholeness and calm, both in mind and body. That's stress-free. That's regulation. A person becomes dysregulated when they encounter stressors in their life, either emotional stressors, financial stressors, physical stressors, as some of the things we've talked about already here this morning. A person becomes dysregulated because their mind and body become agitated, become irritated, become angry. A lot of times the emotional response to stress is anger. And so he talks about, Ken, just what you were talking about, that as stress comes down through the parents, it affects the kids. And many times the children's stress that they have in their life is a direct result of the parents not filtering the stress, keeping their children from it, but they're passing the stress on to their kids as it's affecting them.
How many times have we gone through and seen a child do something that children do, which is, you know, maybe they grabbed a candy bar off a shelf at the Walmart line or whatever, and you see a parent just absolutely go off on the kid up one side and down the other, and you're going, what was that about?
Mm-hmm. Guys, I saw it just the other day. And I've seen it through the years. Parents will pick their kids up and just begin wailing on them. Something the child did that is developmentally appropriate for a child. And this parent, because of the stress, because of the frustration, because of the embarrassment, many times that a parent feels toward their child because of what a child does, then they take that out on their children rather than coping with it as an adult. And that's what we have to learn how to do, is recognize what these symptoms are and how we can better cope with the stressors that are in our life. Because our children don't deserve that. And we're teaching them how to handle stress the way that we don't handle stress.
Okay, say it again.
Yeah, we're teaching our children how to handle stress the way we don't handle stress. When we pick them up and just wail the tar out of them.
So we're not dealing with it, so then they're learning not to do it.
They're learning not to. That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying.
And the reason I ask that is so many times we have questions that people go, well, okay, you're talking about this now on the radio at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and you're talking about teaching people how to deal with this, teaching people how to deal with stress, how to be effective parents, how to have a healthy marriage. Why didn't we know that before? Where were the counselors before? This is what we're talking about. When we have things that happen in our life, we push that for generations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing with what our grandparents and great-grandparents dealt with as it's come down through. It goes from, you know, grandparents to parents to children. It continues the cycle. And if we don't change that cycle, it'll continue further. If you don't deal with stress, your kids aren't going to deal with it well.
And it's important to be able to recognize the stress. It's important to be able to realize how we're handling it, how we're coping with it, or how we're not. And that's the important thing. You know, there's some warning signs and symptoms for stress. And it's important to realize that we are affected, as Ty said earlier, cognitively, emotionally, physically, behaviorally, in every way by the stresses in our life. You know, some of the cognitive symptoms, some of the mental symptoms of stress in our life, we begin having memory problems. When we feel so stressed that we can't remember from one day to the next or what we're supposed to do in this day.
Or you walk into the next room and think, why did I come in here?
That's exactly right.
I've done that more times recently than I really care to admit.
Or we become indecisive. We simply get to where we cannot make a decision or refuse to make a decision. Or we have the inability to concentrate. We have trouble thinking clearly. We just feel like we're walking in a fog. Or we have poor judgment about things. We begin to really see only the negative in any situation or every situation. And we have anxious, and our thoughts are just racing all the time, or we worry constantly. We lose our objectivity about things, and that's when we get caught up in the moment. And we have a lot of fearful anticipation. It's not quite paranoia, but we have fearful anticipation that something dreadful is going to happen. And those are just some mental symptoms that we are stressed in our life. But we also have emotional symptoms.
Yeah, some of the emotional symptoms, you know, more moody than maybe you normally are. I know some of us can be moody all the time, but this is more
just
so
more
often.
Moody.
Huh? Just more moody, yes. Feeling easily agitated and just kind of aggravated. Feeling just restlessness, like Ken mentioned earlier, not being able to sleep at night or fall asleep or rest peacefully. Being real short-tempered with your kids or significant other. Not being able to relax, I think that's a big one. If you find yourself just feeling so anxious and irritable and on edge that you just can't find the time to relax. And I think that's a huge, huge warning sign that you're overly stressed. If you're feeling tense or on edge, if you have that feeling of being overwhelmed by everything, that everything just seems too much and you don't know where to start and you don't know what problems to tackle and what issues to deal with. Also having feelings of being alone or isolated, that, you know, nobody's on your side or can help. And then having feelings of just general depression or unhappiness.
You know, all of these things, they have physical manifestations on us. Some of them are minor, some of them are major, such as headaches and backaches.
Yeah.
How many of us go through the day where we're just so tied up in knots we hurt just to move? Or we turn one direction and we can't turn back the direction we just came from? Muscle tension and stiffness in all parts of our body, that's a major sign that we may need more than a chiropractor. Now, we need to deal with some of the things that are bringing this on. Nausea, dizziness, insomnia. We're talking about a lack of sleep, just not being able to go to sleep. Mind's racing.
Wake up with your mind racing.
Wake up exhausted.
Yeah.
Some people have massive weight gain or massive weight loss. You know, over a short amount of time, you see something happen in someone. You know, some of these major events may have happened. Skin breaking out in hives or eczema. This is one that hits a lot of families. Loss of sexual drive.
Mm-hmm.
Hits a lot of marriages, especially women. Women, if they're stressed out, a lot of them don't want to have anything to do with the guy. And if the guy even so much as approaches her in the room, she'll go off on him.
And he thinks, where did that come from?
And where, yeah, what happened here?
Yeah.
But again, that's an indication that we need to start facing some of these things. Even just to break down the immune system, having frequent colds, flus, viruses, our immune system can't handle it. It's trying to deal with everything else. So when something like a virus or bacterial infection comes in,
mm-hmm.
we go down, and we go down for the count.
Yeah. Yeah, Ty, can you explain how, with stress and the depression that many times accompanies that stress, how women and men differ in expression of that depression?
This is kind of hard for me, I mean, as far as just personally, because I tend to go more on the guy side. Warren's probably listening at home going, But I think a lot of times when women start to become overly stressed, depressed, and anxious, normally we want to turn to somebody. We want to talk about it, whether we turn to our spouse, our family, friends, or even want to seek professional help. I think that's a way that women more commonly deal with it. I think men tend to usually internalize those feelings of stress and anxiety.
To keep it in.
And yeah, want to keep it inside and not share it. So then you have the female wanting to talk about it and the male wanting to withdraw and not talk about it. And that just usually tends to create more conflict, more stress, more anxiety, more depression, because the two people usually do want to deal with the situation differently.
In different ways.
In different ways, yeah.
Yeah. And what about behaviorally? How do we express that behaviorally?
A lot of times the behaviors that you'll see in people who are becoming overly stressed, and it's kind of like which comes first, you're probably going to eat more or less, which could contribute to the weight loss or weight gain, sleeping too much or too little. If you start isolating yourself from other people, not wanting to interact with those friends, family, kids, spouses, procrastinating or just wanting to push off your responsibilities and not follow through on the things that you're supposed to do, abusing alcohol, cigarettes, or drugs to relax.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
And anymore, online, with having pornography and gambling addictions online. Mm-hmm. People are trying to deal with that stress, and that's one way that they're thinking, well, no one else is watching. It's not, I mean, I'm not going into a bar and sitting down there getting completely drunk, but again, the effects are still the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then the cause is the same.
Yeah, you know, a lot of these, Ty, what I'm thinking also is that a lot of these behaviors are associated with grief.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of grieving behaviors that you mentioned earlier about many of the life events in our life that are very stressful, the spouse's death or divorce or separation in the marriage or a spouse going to jail. Or an injury or whatever, that a lot of these are associated with grief as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some other behavioral symptoms, and this is it's a big one I can relate to, nail biting. Oh, yeah, I'm sitting here picking as we're talking. Pacing, grinding your jaw, or clenching your teeth, overdoing activities. I'm somebody who might just exercise too much, you know, instead of just being healthy and maybe going once a day, they go two or three times a day or exercise for long periods of time. Or shopping too much, or any activity that they're overdoing.
Or vacuuming too much.
Please come to my house.
Just if maybe somebody is starting to just pick fights with others for no reason. That might be another behavioral symptom that they're overly stressed.
This morning we're wrapping things up for the bottom half of the hour. We're talking about stress, and I don't think there's anyone listening that cannot in some way identify with this. Now, there are times when we have immediate stresses on life. Things happen because of incidents that happen and occur as a part of life that we can work through. But if this is hitting and you're going, you know, that is me, and that is me, and that, stick around for the second half. Let's talk more about it as we come back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
Do we really need counseling? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I guess life's okay. It's not that bad. I know we're both working. But what happened? Do we need counseling? I don't even know if my spouse knows. Do I need counseling? If you're asking the question, if you've looked on the internet looking for answers, then call the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. The sooner you call, the easier your life becomes. 882-6767.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce.
And we're back.
And in the studio with us today is Ty Beasley, one of the licensed professional counselors there at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. This morning we're talking about identifying stress, really looking at ourselves and finding out where we might be, because most people who are in stress do not understand the amount that they're in. The physical effects that it's having, the emotional and relationship effects that it's having on mm-hmm. our lives. And many times we don't notice that until really it's beyond our control, until things have really reached an end or a boiling point. If, as we looked at the first hour, you're thinking about that, or you're going, you know, that's my best friend. That is them to a T. Every day, every time I talk to them, it's something else, and they don't know it. You know, one of the best ways you can help a friend, especially dealing with stress and having many different things that happen, and we've all had people that we know like that, ask them to give us a call over at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Phone number there is really easy. It's 882-6767. If you need to write that down, it's 882-6767. Give them the website that we have, springfieldmfi.com. Look us up and get kind of an idea of who we are. Take a look. You can meet part of the staff there online at springfieldmfi.com.
You know, we've been talking about the stress warning signs and symptoms in the first half of the hour. And there's a lot of physical symptoms, a lot of emotional symptoms, behavioral symptoms, mental symptoms that stress brings into our life. And stress is not in and of itself bad. Everything stresses us. There's good stress and there's bad stress.
Uh-huh.
You know, the bad stress, we all know about that one. It's distress. You know, we become distressed. But the term for good stress is a less familiar term, and it's called eustress. And the way you spell that is E-U, stress, eustress. So that's the word for the day.
That's a good word for the
day. That's a good word for the day. But good stress are times of celebration. We celebrate. We have traditions we celebrate. We have Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. We have different holidays coming up. And a lot of those are very stressful on marriages and families in ways that we're not even aware of, because in so many ways, those are good stresses. But in so many ways, those can also become distresses, bad stresses in our life. And we don't recognize that quite as readily either until perhaps it's over. In fact, a lot of the symptoms that we're talking about, we don't recognize, we don't really experience until about 48 to 72 hours after we experience the stressor.
I think a big, big stress on people that they don't even realize, it's when you're preparing to go on vacation. You know, the vacation part's supposed to be the relaxing, the get away from the stress and all that, but those of us who've been on a vacation before, it's so stressful, you know, leaving work, getting everything ready, to be
That's
able
right.
to kind of forget about it. And then even before you get back, I think the stress starts creeping back in about, okay, well, now I got to go back to work before you even get off vacation.
Yeah, another stress could be planning a wedding.
Oh, my.
Sorry about that, yes.
But I'm loving it. I'm excited.
Other stressors, having a baby. Having a baby, the preparation, the excitement, the anticipation of having a child.
Well, the first 6 months after the arrival with no sleep.
Well, that's the other side. And there's stress after the child gets here. There's stress between the parents and child because the child will stress a parent in every way possible because the child becomes the center of the universe and of their life. Mm-hmm. And they have constant demands or needs to be met now, that type of thing. And so we have those stresses, but also having a child puts stress between the parents in the marriage. Mm-hmm. They can have a beautiful child, healthy child, take that child home and have stress between the child and the parent, but also between the parents that many times are not readily admitted because this child is such a blessing in the home. Mm-hmm. But the husband can have a sense of being a third wheel as mom and baby bond. You know, those types of stresses do come in.
And those are stresses that do not go away as the child grows up in a lot of cases. How many times have we had couples come in that they're now empty nesters, their child has just left home, and that has been where the connection has been, either for them to have at least a mutual connection, but the fact that the parents view the child more important than the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
When we really have to be able to address the fact that children are just a part-time thing. The marriage is what's supposed to be forever. Children will grow up and go out on their own, but we still should maintain the marriage. And many times we give up our marriage trying to take care of our kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is so necessary to keep priorities in line, keep things that are high priority a high priority. Mm-hmm. And certainly the stability of a child in life is the marriage. And if that marriage is stressed, so are the children in that family. And we just need to recognize some of these things that can help us to deal more effectively with the stressors in our life.
In the article talking about how stress actually can damage the brain, kill brain cells, etc., mm-hmm. they asked the question, why has stress become such a serious health problem and health threat in recent years? And it's been a long-term historical trend that involves culture and economics. Before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century, people tended to awaken in the morning when it became light and go to bed when it turned dark. Yeah. They also had a great deal of leisure time. They would actually take downtime. But one of the things they noticed is that's changing, especially in the past 25 years. We're working 25% longer and harder to attain the same standard of living as we did a quarter century ago. In fact, Americans now work as many hours as anyone in the world, including the Japanese.
And take less vacation time. They don't take it. That's the problem. Many European countries, Japan, they work very hard, but they also take time off.
They can,
and they do. Research shows that they do. Americans are becoming infamous for having vacation time but not taking it.
Well, that was one of the factors they said, you know, methods in coping with stress is take time to relax. That seems to be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But we have trouble scheduling time to relax to really enjoy something. We cannot just go and be away from it. We're always worrying about what we could be getting done.
Yes. That's huge. I think people don't realize that. It's like, okay, well, we schedule time to not stress about these things, and then you sit and you try to talk about it when you're supposed to be getting away from it. That's not relaxing.
No, it's not relaxing. Or feel guilty for taking time mm-hmm. off because there's stuff that still needs to be done.
Or taking phone calls from work while you're on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the boss, if you're the employer, if you're the manager, the supervisor, and you go away with your family to get away from work, and work follows you where you go. That's not a vacation.
Right.
That's stressful on everyone.
That's one of the things, even with the cell phone that I have. Being in real estate, we are constantly on our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually had to start letting things go to voicemail and say, you know, at 1 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, at 10 o'clock in the morning, 1 and 4 in the afternoon, I'll return calls. Because I cannot just stop every time I try to take care of something. I end up getting less work done
mm-hmm.
trying to take care of everything else.
Yeah.
And so being able to set boundaries and to know what you can take on, et cetera.
You know, one of the things also talking about this is setting boundaries, setting appropriate boundaries, time boundaries, emotional boundaries, mental boundaries, physical boundaries that we all need in our life to separate us from our work, to keep things more in balance. We need balance in our life. One of the things I came across the other day was that ministers in general, research is showing that 80% of ministers feel overwhelmed because they're being asked to do more things than they're trained to do or have time to do. And that's one of the reasons why at Springfield MFI, we're reaching out to churches and we're asking ministers, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel like you are not trained for this or you don't have time to do counseling, helping, working with people, let us help you with that. Contact us to help you with some of that counseling load. Also, you yourself, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling burned out, where you're not just tired and depressed, but you become numb and you don't look forward to getting up in the day. Emotional numbness is a sign of being burned out. So we're here for you as well.
Well, when the doctor tells the preacher, you need to slow down, and the preacher goes, I can't, you need to listen to the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that we haven't really discussed much, but the effects of teens, or stress and anxiety has on teens, and talking about today's teens have more stress than ever before.
Oh, yeah. I think a huge part of that is just because sometimes I look at teens as just like little mini adults, you know, and it's like they do so much. And I think that we as parents or teachers or whatever capacity we have, that we don't maybe give them as much. We give them the credit, but then at the same time forget that they're still kids in a lot of ways.
I think that's an important one. Talking about how kids or teens receive a lot of stress from internal sources. You know, from themselves, procrastinating, trying to take on more than they can handle. Peer pressure. You know, it's almost become a cliche, but it's very real mm-hmm. in the life of a teenager.
It's extremely real.
Mm-hmm. You know, their entire world revolves around whatever school they're in. That's it. The world is not any larger than the school they're in. And to have the pressures in that small a location, especially if you're not necessarily in the circle, but outside the circle.
Yeah.
There is nowhere to escape. You're told you have to be there, and you cannot get away. And so many times, kids, if they're given the opportunity, are resilient. They can bounce back. A lot of times you'll hear a kid saying, you know, a parent go, what are you doing? I'm just chilling. Okay, that's not the kid being lazy. That's actually part of the way they handle stress.
Yeah.
It's just to be able to try to unplug, to turn down, to chill.
Same way adults need to relax. Kids, they need to just chill out and not do anything, and just, whether it be veg on the couch or hang out in the room and listen to music or whatever kind of works for them. But yeah, like you said, it's not necessarily them being, there's a difference between all the time them never being motivated, not ever wanting to do anything, as opposed to just had a busy day, I want to come home and just kind of be by myself and chill out.
That brings up something real quick. What are some of the things that are just normal reactions, and what are some of the signs that we need to keep an eye out for our kids?
Probably anything that's going to be extreme. Kids are always going to have mood swings, but I think it's going to be those mood swings that are more excessive, where if they start acting out, they're having severe anger, they're slamming doors, there's severe changes in their sleep or their schoolwork, they're withdrawing from friends or activities that they normally like to do. Those are going to be, I think, some of the more severe warning signs.
And that's the reason it's all the more important to help our children to de-stress. Allow them time to de-stress. Actively promote that with your children. Parents, let me encourage you right here at the very end of this hour. I know we all like our children to be involved in activities and sports, dance, gymnastics, all kinds of things, but we can overschedule our children, and we can actually bring more stress into their lives than they can handle simply by involving them in so many different types of activities. And so I encourage you to limit the number of activities that your children are in, prioritize, and see what your children are really interested in learning to do, and working with them, letting them have input, because that helps them to have less stress in their life as well. But limit the number of activities to help them have time, just have some downtime.
To play.
At Springfield MFI, we help people. We can help many people. If you've identified with this, or you know someone who has, and by all accounts, everyone listening, that just put everyone into the same boat. Give us a call at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. We should not be suffering our marriages. We should be enjoying them. We shouldn't have our kids stressed out. We can get help, and help is available. The knowledge is there. Give us a call, 882-6767, or look us up on the web at springfieldmfi.com. It's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.